Welcome to episode 10 of Practical Defense, Survival Signals. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Addix. In this episode, we're going to cover a topic that's critical to women: recognizing when you're being manipulated. I pulled a majority of this material from a book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. And I can't recommend this book enough, and I credit it with it turning me onto the whole reality-based training movement. I've had all the women in my family read this book. Mr. DeBecker, is a leading expert in predicting criminal behavior. He's received awards from the FBI and the U.S. Attorney General, and even designed the assessment system that's used to screen threats to the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court. And numerous federal agencies and corporations and regional police and women's shelters and even movie studios have repeatedly called on him for his prediction and profiling skills. The book is widely available in paperback, hardback, and even an audio version from audible.com, if you don't like to read. The Audible version, I have that one as well, and it's abridged down to 3 hours. So it's not the complete unabridged book, but you get a lot of really good material out of it. And Mr. DeBecker covers a huge range of topics in his books with really excellent illustrative and true stories. But the topic that I will focus on this episode is how to recognize when you're being manipulated. What are the survival signals, as he calls them, that will alert you when someone's trying to control you? So, why is it important to recognize when you're being manipulated? Well, first off, it's generally because someone's trying to get you to do something that you don't necessarily want to do. And for women, this can mean real danger. There's an erroneous belief that most attacks are from surprise. You know, the robber or rapist hides and waits for a victim to walk by, and then he leaps out like a trapdoor spider or something. And while a fair number of attacks occur in this manner, a greater number still have a verbal exchange between the attacker and the victim. I know it sounds surprising, but what happens is the attacker uses this verbal interaction to conduct sort of like an interview with a potential target to size them up. This is part of their victim selection process. And they find out if this person's a hard target or a soft target. And by soft target, I mean easy target. It's also an excuse to get closer to the person, physically closer, and make any strike or attack harder to dodge. Being aware of the danger signals that this interview broadcasts and acting on them is how you can avoid a potentially life-threatening situation or escape a confrontation already in progress. Now, Mr. DeBecker breaks down the signals, what he calls survival signals, into 7 different categories. And the first one is forced teaming. And then we have charm and niceness. Then we have too many details. We have typecasting, loan sharking, the unsolicited promise, and discounting the word no. Now, there are some strange words there and things that aren't intuitive all by itself, and I'll be going into detail on them. But the essence of all this comes down to that the alert trigger for all of these signals is your intuition. And then intuition is that little voice that goes off in the back of your head telling you that something's awry. And the problem is that most of us override that little voice, discounting it. We explain it away. You don't want to do that. You don't want to take that little tingle in the back of your head and say, well, I'm just making something out of nothing. This guy's actually a really nice guy. That's exactly what they're hoping you'll do. But you have to listen to that little voice, and that's what's going to keep you out of harm's way. And it's a key aspect to awareness. So you need to listen to that little voice and determine what it's trying to tell you. And that's where these survival signals come in, because that little voice triggers your awareness, and then you start going down this list and looking for these survival signals. So the first one is called forced teaming. And this is when the attacker tries to create a bond with the victim. They use terms and phrases that suggest that there's some sort of shared experience between you and this complete stranger. Now, he's going to throw around a lot of words that have we in them, like we have kids, and do we have a problem here? Or let me help you, you do the same for me. So trying to create this mutual bond. And, you know, sometimes this is going to be used as innocent conversation starter. So what you have to do is you have to consider the situation where you find yourself. You know, a cocktail party or a social gathering is a far different place than, you know, in circumstance, than a lone woman who's loading groceries into her car at night, or a single mother trying to wrangle her unruly kids into the apartment building in a dark hallway. The next survival skill is called charm and niceness. Now, I know that really seems like an odd one, doesn't it? But the truth is that charm and niceness are used as an offensive weapon. It disarms the potential victim. You know, people are saying, "He's so nice." It's surprisingly often heard used to describe a rapist or a sociopath before he went on a killing spree. I mean, how often in reports do we hear neighbors describe a killer as such a nice, quiet person? Social norms condition us, especially women, to respond to niceness with niceness. So if the person's being nice, friendly, or warm, our first reaction, our conditioned reaction, is to respond in kind, and that's how the trap is laid. So now we have this stranger who approached us in an unwanted, unsolicited, and has used some social norms to get us to be nice to him, and that has given him some control over us. So one of the most important lessons that we are not taught is that niceness does not necessarily mean goodness. Very few acts of kindness are actually out of pure altruism. Most are done out of purely selfish needs, either in order to get something in return or even to make that person feel better about themselves. Another signal we have to look for is too many details. Now, this is a person, when they feel questioned or doubted, they feel a need to provide a lot of detail as proof of legitimacy of the comments. So in a forced teaming example here, we have a guy who might say, "You know, I also have a cat, and her name is Mittens, and she is just adorable. I got her from the pound a few years ago, and she has the cutest gray paws." You know, when you just met this person, did you really need to know all of that information? See, the sheer volume of information also has the effect of confusing and distracting a potential victim. So you might focus on all the stuff the stranger's tossing at you, and you might forget the important thing here. The important thing is that this person is an absolute stranger, and you must not lose sight of that, and must not lose sight of where you are and what this person is to you. We move on to the next survival signal, and that is typecasting. And this is a kind of an odd one, but this is where the attacker uses a mild insult to get you to do the opposite of the accusation. Things like, "Oh, so were you one of those people?" Or, "You think you're out of my league?" Or, "Is it chilling here, or is it just you?" See, no one likes to be cast as a bad or rude person, so our natural instinct is to disprove the accusation. So, you know, if the person basically calls you cold, you want to turn around and say, "Well, no, I'm a warm, nice, fuzzy person," and you start trying to interact that way to try and prove them wrong. But here again, the complete stranger has manipulated us into something that we never intended. And again, we have to remind ourselves that this person, we don't know them. And the other thing is, why do we care what this complete stranger thinks? What is he to us? Why do we have to be nice? Why do we have to do this? And the answer is, we don't. We don't have to be nice to this person. This person means nothing to us, and we'll probably never see them again. So what you're doing here by acting opposite of what they're trying to get you into, you're putting up shields to block their control mechanisms. And the next signal, this is something to look out for, is loan sharking. And this is when a stranger forces a favor onto you. This person, you know, despite your protests, still helps you with the groceries. He gives you something for nothing. And what this does is this places you in his debt. So how can you be rude to this nice guy who shared some of his personal information with you and then he helped you out? But this is what they're counting on. This is how, you know, his web of lies and deceit, and, you know, puts a web of control around you. And which, again, you have to remember is you're really not indebted to this person. You were not indebted into somebody for something you never asked for. You didn't ask for his help, and in fact, you told him explicitly and repeatedly that you didn't want it. And really, you have no obligation for this supposed favor. This next one is critical, and after you understand this, when you hear it, it should set off alarms screaming in your head forever after. And this is the unsolicited promise. This is stuff like, you know what, I'll just carry these in for you, and then I'll put them down on the counter, and then I leave. Then I'll leave. I promise. And Mr. DeBecker here explains that the unsolicited promise is, and I quote, one of the most reliable signals because it is nearly always of questionable motive, unquote. So the promises are used to convince people of an outcome, and you need to ask yourself, why does this person need to convince me of this thing? Why does this person need to convince me that they're going to leave after they put the groceries down on the counter inside my home? So they sense some sort of doubt, and so they throw in, I promise, just, you know, to try and dissuade your fears. But why? Why are they doing that? If you hear an unsolicited promise, you are absolutely in a danger zone, and you need to take some immediate action to extricate yourself from it. You know, become a cold bitch and get them to leave. If you can, move away. Stay out of arm's reach. If you're fortunate enough to have this person still, you know, you're inside the home, this person's still on the doorstep, shut and lock the door. And, you know, do what you need to do to get away. The last survival signal that Mr. DeBecker has is discounting the word no. You know, an honest, good-intentioned person will respect the word no. Anyone who ignores it is trying to control or manipulate you. When you say no, you need to stand firm. Don't give in and don't negotiate. If you don't want the assistance, you don't want the advice, or you don't want the service, stay at no and don't budge. If you make excuses or negotiate, it weakens your position and you start to lose control. You know, I actually discussed these signals with my brother-in-law who owns his own small company. And, you know, sales and acquiring new customers is a huge part of his business, you know, as it is for any business that wants to stay in business. But, you know, interestingly enough, he pointed out to me that these survival signals are part of any good sales tactic, you know, to bond with a customer, to be charming, to do a little bit of loan sharking and don't accept no for an answer are all tools that salesmen have in their bag of tricks. But the big difference here is that there's no product or service at the end of the exchange. The criminal uses these tactics to sell you on himself. In actuality, all you're doing is purchasing some pain and suffering. The trick here is if you need help, you're far better off asking for it from some random person than you are waiting for someone to show up and offer it. The chances of picking out a potential attacker from a random crowd of people is really pretty slim. So here's a personal example of that exact scenario. Just last weekend, I was at a gas station filling up my truck, and a lone woman pulled up next to me. She was in her 50s, visibly distressed, and she was asking me for some help. She explained that she was out hiking with her dogs, and there were three large dogs in her car, and there were hiking trails nearby. And she said she was on her way home when she discovered she was nearly out of gas and felt that she might not have enough to make it. So she didn't have her wallet, and she just needed a couple extra dollars for gas. I gave her 20, and she filled up in the stall next to mine and was very relieved. So why did she do the right thing? Well, she needed help, and she sought a random person for assistance. And in this case, of all people, she selected me from the crowd at the station rather than risking a drive home where she could have become stranded and would have been at the mercy of whomever might stop. She did the right thing. Everything worked out fine. She got enough gas to get home, and everyone was safe. All right, well, in summary, we have 7 survival signals. We have forced teaming, which is a forced shared experience. We have charm and niceness. Niceness does not necessarily mean goodness. We have too many details. So people providing more information than you need to know to try and convince you of the truth. We have typecasting, which is a mild insult that he wants you to prove wrong. We have loan sharking, and this is a favor that you never asked for. We have the unsolicited promise, and this one should set off alarms when you hear, I promise. And we have discounting the word no. An honest person will respect the word no. You're also better off asking a random person for help than waiting for someone to show up and offer it. Nothing's ever 100%, but your chances of pulling a random good person are far better than pulling a random bad one. And of course, you want to buy and read the book The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. And you can find this book listed in the library section on my website at alexhaddix.com. This is one of those educational pieces that will change your outlook on life forever and really help keep you safe. And before we close, I am, of course, once again going to plug my women's survival course that I'm teaching at the end of January here in Los Angeles. And this course is going to last 2 days, the last two Sundays in January. And it's a full 16-hour course, and it was designed by Sergeant Jim Wagner. I've posted the course details to my website with the dates and times in a sign-up form. And it's really a fantastic program. This is for women only, and I highly recommend it. We're going to cover such topics like threat zones and conflict defensive strategies and stalking detection and harassment and vehicles and hand-to-hand defense and weapons defense, use of force ladder, home security, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And for those concerned, there's not going to be a whole lot of physical requirements, even though it's a 16-hour course. You know, it's not like the men's course that it's 90% hands-on and 10% lecture. The women's course is more 50-50. We do some training scenarios for a little while, and then we take a break to discuss things. We also do a lot of walking around where we actually walk outside and discuss things in a real-world situation and give real-world demonstrations. And the course material will blow you away. So I highly recommend it for your wives and sisters and mothers to become safer and become hard targets. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.